Ever feel like those official economic numbers, you know, the ones we always hear about, don't really tell the whole story?
Definitely.
Like what's happening in our neighborhoods, on our streets. It often feels different, you know?
Absolutely.
So today's deep dive, we're going deep into that disconnect. We're talking about drug money, those narco dollars, and how they might be secretly shaping our lives.
The side of the economy we rarely talk about.
Right. And we've got some pretty intense articles from Catherine Austin Fitz as our guide. She doesn't hold back.
No, she doesn't. Fitz, she argues that while everyone's obsessed with the Dow Jones, there's this other index that really matters, the Solari Index.
Solari Index. Okay, first time I'm hearing that term. What's that all about?
So think of it like this. How safe does a child feel building an ice cream cone in their neighborhood?
Okay, I like where this is going. It's like a measure of actual well-being.
Exactly. That feeling of safety, of community, that's the Solari Index. And Fitz says it's plummeting even while the Dow is soaring.
Interesting. So it's like this weird inverse relationship. Wall Street's doing great, but our neighborhoods, our communities, they're hurting.
That's what Fitz is saying. And she uses this analogy. It's pretty brilliant. Imagine two boats.
Okay, I'm picturing it.
One boat, it's hauling sugar, playing by the rules, but the profits, they're slim.
Right, sugar, not exactly the get-rich-quick scheme.
Now, the other boat, cocaine. The profit margins are insane.
Oh, yeah, no comparison there.
So drug money, it's like playing Monopoly with cheat codes. It warps the entire game.
Okay, so it's not just about criminals getting rich.
Nope.
It's about that dirty money. It bleeds into the system. It changes how everything works.
Exactly. And Fitz argues this influences everything, from who gets loans to local politics, even who gets into those big name universities.
Wow, so it's not just about the money itself, it's about the power that comes with it.
Exactly. Power, not just profits.
That's a bold claim. Does she have any, you know, concrete examples, evidence to back that up?
Oh, she does. Take Richard Grasso, you know, the former chairman of the New York Stock Exchange.
Mm-hmm.
Big guy. Back in 1999, he flew down to meet FARC rebels in Colombia.
Wait, the FARC. Those are Marxist guerrillas, right? Heavily involved in the cocaine trade.
The very same. And at that time, the FARC, they weren't even routing their profits through Wall Street.
So what was the head honcho of the NYSE, the heart of Wall Street, doing meeting with cocaine traffickers? That's interesting, to say the least.
Fitz sees it as a sign, like they were being courted. A hint that even those seemingly untouchable institutions might be more reliant on this flow of money than we realize.
It's like the war on drugs, and then you have these guys potentially making deals behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got this big picture, this system that might be more connected to drug money than we want to believe. But how does this impact us on a daily basis?
Well, Fitz, she argues it's not just a border issue. It's embedded in the U.S. economy. Look at the four states with the highest drug trafficking: New York, California, Texas, Florida.
And those are also major financial hubs.
Yeah.
Coincidence? I don't think so.
Fitz doesn't either. She sees those states as like the key locations for laundering and reinvesting those narco dollars.
So it's not some shadowy underworld. We're talking about the fabric of how our economy works.
Potentially, yeah. And Fitz, she's seen this firsthand. Her software company, they developed these tools for financial analysis.
Okay.
And she started noticing these links, right, between CIA-backed activities.
Like covert ops and such.
Yeah, but also stuff that looked a lot like drug trafficking. And these activities, they were leading to massive losses for taxpayers.
So she stumbled onto something she wasn't supposed to see. What happened?
Her company was targeted. Harassment, surveillance. She was eventually forced to sell. She says it felt like living in that movie, Enemy of the State.
Intense. But she's still speaking out, which is pretty incredible given what she's been through. But how does she connect these high-stakes maneuvers to, like, our everyday lives?
Well, Fitz wants us to understand it's not just about kingpins and secret agents, right? This stuff, it trickles down in ways we might not even realize. Think about a few teens, right, selling drugs on a street corner.
Right.
It's not about them getting rich.
So where does the money go?
Up. It flows upward. That cash, it needs to be cleaned to
Yeah.
be useful, right?
Mm-hmm.
So imagine a seemingly ordinary, you know, fast food restaurant. Suddenly they're showing way higher profits than their burger sales would allow.
Okay, so the drug money is laundered through the business.
Exactly.
But how does that impact, say, my retirement savings? I've got my 401k. How am I involved?
Because of the stock market. See, that little boost from the laundered money, it inflates the company's value, creates a pop in their stock price.
Right.
And your 401k, those mutual funds, a lot of people have them, they might be invested in that company. So you're unknowingly benefiting from these ill-gotten gains.
So even if we're trying to do everything right, be responsible, invest our money, we might be unwittingly connected to this whole narco-dollar machine.
That's exactly what Fitz wants us to grasp. She even talks about driving around, noticing all these seemingly empty businesses, motels, fast food places just sitting there.
Empty.
Yeah. And it made her think, are these just fronts for money laundering? Places more reliant on dirty money than actual customers.
Wow. Okay.
It's about opening our eyes to what might be hiding in plain sight. It can feel kind of overwhelming, you know, like where do we even go from here? But Fitz, she's not just about doom and gloom. She's got ideas. She calls it the Solari model.
Okay. So less about the problems, more about solutions. I like it. Tell me more about the Solari model. What's the gist?
Well, she basically wants to flip the incentives because right now the system, it often rewards bad behavior, don't you think?
Yeah, it often feels that way.
Politicians, corporations, a lot of them benefit from turning a blind eye to where those dollars come from. You know, as long as the money keeps flowing.
It's like that saying, don't bite the hand that feeds you, even if, you know, that hand is a little, well, dirty.
Exactly.
So how do we change that? What's Fitz's solution?
She says we got to align incentives with well-being. Remember that Solari index we talked about?
Right, the ice cream cone metric.
Exactly. Imagine a system where communities actually profit from making their neighborhoods safer, not from, you know, exploiting them.
Okay, that makes sense. So instead of my retirement fund maybe getting a bump because some corporation is laundering money, it could be tied to something that actually makes my community a better place to live.
You got it. Fitz, she talks about hyper-local investing.
What does that mean exactly?
So think community-controlled funds. They pool their money together, and they invest in local businesses, real estate, things that directly improve the Solari index of their area.
It's like cutting out the middleman, the Wall Street part of it, and giving people a direct stake in their own backyards. But how do we actually get from here to there? It feels like a massive shift.
Oh, it is massive. Mm-hmm. Fitz is very clear about that. She says it starts with changing how we define success. Like, what does success really mean?
Right.
Not just chasing profits, but actually valuing the well-being of our communities.
Mm.
Because right now, small businesses, the heart of a lot of communities, they're struggling to compete.
Yeah. Those mom-and-pop shops, they have a tough time going up against those giant corporations on Wall Street. Is that what Fitz wants to change?
Exactly. She sees these Solari funds as a way to, like, level the playing field, pool resources, invest in these promising local businesses, help them grow, create jobs. And at the same time, you're making the neighborhood safer, stronger.
Mm-hmm.
It's about aligning those financial gains with real world improvement.
Okay. Yeah, I see how it all ties together. But this whole narco dollar problem, it's not new, right? I mean, haven't things always been this way?
You're absolutely right. This whole thing, elites profiting from both sides of conflicts, been going on for centuries. Fitz points that out. Think about the Chinese opium trade, the Flying Tigers in World War II, even the CIA, their own history with funding, let's just say, questionable activities.
She even mentioned that secret agreement between the CIA and the Department of Justice, the one that basically let them look the other way when allies were involved in drug trafficking. Wild stuff.
Really is.
Makes you wonder how much of our history is really tied up in all of this.
Right. And that's why Fitz, she argues it's bigger than just, you know, catching a few bad guys. It's the system itself.
It's like that Pogo quote, right? We have met the enemy and he is us. Exactly. Fitz, she's basically saying, we're all complicit in this, whether we realize it or not. Our desire for cheap goods, you know, or dependence on this system that's fueled by those dollars, it keeps the whole thing going.
So if we're all part of the problem, does that mean we can be part of the solution?
Fitz believes so. That's like the core of the Solari model. Taking back control, investing in our own communities, demanding a future where financial success isn't built on, you know, exploiting people or turning a blind eye to shady stuff.
It's a powerful idea. But honestly, how do we move beyond just talking about it? How do we actually make those changes? Where do we even begin? So we've uncovered this whole hidden world, right? These narco dollars propping up the economy in ways we never imagined.
It's a lot to take in. It really is. But okay, knowing is only half the battle, right? What do we actually do with this information? It's easy to feel powerless. Like, what difference can I, one person, really make?
You know, Fitz talks about that feeling of powerlessness.
Yeah.
She says that's part of the problem. It's like we're almost addicted.
Addicted. to what? Not just the drugs themselves.
Right. Not just the drugs. It's the money that comes from them. We're addicted to that, too. We benefit from this system, whether we want to admit it or not.
It's like we're all on this crazy merry-go-round. We know it's going to stop eventually. Probably not in a good way. But getting off, it seems even scarier.
Yeah, it's that fear, right? Fear of the unknown. But Fitz, she believes we can break free.
Okay, so how do we do that? What are some, like, concrete steps we can take? I mean, where do we even begin?
It starts with awareness, you know, seeing the world with new eyes. Like, Fitz talks about those empty businesses, the ones that seem to exist more for laundering money than actually serving customers.
Right.
We can start paying attention to that kind of stuff. Where are WE spending our money?
Okay, so supporting local businesses, the ones that actually feel like they belong in the community, not just some, you know, generic storefront.
Exactly. Yeah. And asking questions. Where are the products we buy sourced? How are the employees treated? Choosing transparency.
Even in small ways, it all adds up.
Right. And then, of course, there's investing locally, like those Solari funds that Vince talks about.
Yeah.
Putting our money where our values are.
Yeah, taking back some of that financial power that just seems so, so far removed from our daily lives. But what about the bigger picture? I mean, this problem is huge. How do we even begin to address it on a, like, systemic level?
Well, Fitz, she's a big proponent of government reform.
Makes sense.
Because right now, the way she sees it, a lot of these officials, they're rewarded for maintaining the status quo, even if that means turning a blind eye to these issues.
Right.
So she asks this provocative question. What if their salaries, their livelihoods, were tied to that Solari index?
Oh, wow. Okay, so politicians would be directly incentivized to actually make our communities safer, healthier, more vibrant.
Exactly. Now, is that a long shot?
Probably.
Probably. But in the meantime, we can still demand more transparency, hold them accountable for their promises.
Right. Like, no more blind trust. We need to see action.
Absolutely. And knowledge is power. The more people who understand how deep this problem goes, the more we can demand change. Fitz's work, it's really about education, starting these conversations, even if they're uncomfortable.
It's about recognizing that we're not just cogs in the machine. We have a choice. It might not be easy, but we can choose to divest from a system that profits from harm, start building something better, you know, one community at a time.
And it doesn't require perfection. You know, we all participate in the system in some way. But by understanding the forces at play, we can make more conscious choices, even small ones.
Right.
It's about asking ourselves, what kind of world do we want to leave for, you know, for future generations? And what are we willing to do today to make that world a reality?
It's a question worth pondering, that's for sure. Well, big thanks to Catherine Austin Fitz for her groundbreaking work and for reminding us that even in a world that can feel increasingly complex, you know, our individual choices still matter.
They do.
And to you, our listeners, thanks for diving deep with us. Keep asking those tough questions, keep seeking those answers, and we'll catch you on the next Deep Dive.